This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. 3 years ago, the city of Cincinnati created the Office of Performance and Data Analytics to collect and analyze citywide data to monitor and improve performance. Cincinnati City Manager Harry Black recently credited the work of the OPDA with saving the city more than $3 million through cost-cutting and increased efficiency. Joining us to talk about the work of the Office of Performance and Data Analytics are Cincinnati Chief Performance Officer Lee Tammy, Chief Data Officer Brandon Crowley, and City Manager Harry Black. And you can be part of our conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Harry, Lee, and Brandon, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Good to see everybody.
Thank you for having us.
Lee, can you give us a breakdown? It was $3.3 million to be exact, wasn't
right.
it? What did that consist of? How's that breakdown?
Sure. So we have a few major programs that constitute most of our impact. So in our office, we have our CincyStat program, which is our performance management process. That's the one that was modeled off of CityStat. We have our innovation lab, and we have our data analytics suite. So really, with our cost savings, a lot of it we saw as a result of CincyStat, and a lot of it we saw because we made our open data efforts and data analytics structure more robust, but did it in a really cost-effective way. So I'd say in terms of our savings, we found a lot of efficiencies, cost efficiencies through STAT. We were able to increase collections revenue, increase our EMS revenue. We were able to reduce overtime costs, but we also reaped a lot of savings by having our one-person IT team, Brandon Crowley, do a lot of our IT infrastructure, technology infrastructure, digital transformation initiatives in-house. So I'd say between those two, that's where we saw most of our savings.
Who can go a little more in-depth on CincyStats, Brandon or Lee? Who wants to handle it? Brandon says Lee, okay.
On CincyStats.
Yeah, what is that exactly? What that's something that people can actually access, right? Cincy Insights is what I'm thinking of. Okay.
So when I first came into this position, City Manager Black and I had a discussion where we talked about what is the role of open data? What are we trying to do as a government entity in maintaining transparency and also making sure that people understand their information? So Cincy Insights is like an open data portal in that it puts out updated information, but it puts it out in mapped dashboards. So all of our dashboards are updated automatically every day. So it's relatively real-time data. Some of our dashboards are updated more often than that. During winter operations, our snowplow tracker updates every 7 minutes. So we're trying to push out information in real time in a way that people can understand. All of our dashboards are also interactive. So if you click on any of the filters, whether that's month or neighborhood or a particular type of transaction or incident, everything else will filter against it. So we thought that was really neat because it lets people see what's happening where they live, but it also allows them to do a deeper dive.
Harry, I have to imagine you have to be pretty pleased with how this has worked since it started.
Absolutely. I've been involved in bits and pieces of this type of work through my career, but this is the first time that I've been able to be a part of an organization where we pull all of those pieces together under one umbrella and operate them as one system. That is what's allowed us to really optimize the investment that we've made in this. And it's helping us to most definitely make a difference in terms of elevating our ability to serve the people of Cincinnati.
How much does this help in transparency of city government?
Again, it is indicative of transparency in terms of the reports that we provide, the information that we provide, and more in particular, the Open Data Cincinnati. That's our open data portal. As Lee mentioned there, we're up to maybe 25, 30 or data sets.
46.
We have 46 data sets covering a myriad of subject areas. And the data sets are very, very deep in numbers. So for those who are into the numbers, that to that level, the data sets are good, are meant for them. But as Lee also mentioned, there are people out there who don't want to dive into the data, but they want to learn more about city government. And that's where Sensi Insights comes in with respect to the dashboard. So we've created a dashboard to sort of complement the data set so that you can point and click and see graphs, pictures that tell you the same thing that someone who would do a deep dive into the data set would see as well.
Brandon, you are the lone IT person on this project. What's that like for you? That's got to be a lot of work. Yeah, I was going to say it has to be very busy.
Yeah, we survived by automation. So we were very strategic in the software applications that we purchased. We wanted to make sure that we can use the software to automate the delivery of the data to our warehouse, as also automating the delivery of the data to our open data portal, that is the rows and columns of the data, but as well as pushing the data out to our Sensi Insights portal, we've automated that as well. So we survive on automation, and we've built efficient processes around software products that we can schedule things to run in an efficient manner.
If I may, what's also important, and Brandon has done a phenomenal job with his work. Without him, we wouldn't necessarily be where we are today. But what's important to understand about all of this, as I mentioned, we're using these tools, performance management, our stat process, our innovation lab, our performance management agreements. We're using all of that to create a culture of collaboration and teamwork, because through the team approach, we can accomplish much, much more versus what's the traditional, you do what you do, I do what I do. You're going to realize success, but it will be very, very incremental. And but through performance and data analytics, we've been able to create a very open, collaborative, team-oriented work environment, which is generating great, great returns for us.
Absolutely. And I think to the city manager's point, what makes the collaborative work that Brandon and I do work really well is that on the front side, my team is really immersed in operations. So my analysts all have a portfolio of departments, of agencies, and they go to those agencies. And before we do anything on the back end with IT, with technology, we sit down with them and say, what does this really mean? What do you really do all day? How do you put this data in? Where does it live? What does it mean to you? What problems are you trying to solve? What problems aren't you trying to solve? I think being able to understand what that data represents and then automate the processes for getting it, that's kind of the magic formula.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join us, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So Harry, it sounds like what you're saying and what I'm hearing is this is very interwoven into what the city administration does every day.
It has to be. We have a one-page strategic plan. We have performance management agreements. We have SensiStat. We have open data. We have the innovation lab. And on their own, as individual components, they're good and they will add value. But the key is to integrate them into one system and treat it as a system in terms of optimizing how we can utilize it to make government more effective, government more nimble, and government more accountable.
How much has this saved since its implementation in 2014?
Since 2014, we've measured $6.1 million in savings, which doesn't include any savings that are sort of associated with softer costs
in terms of monitoring and oversight. Okay, so there's some soft savings beyond this.
Uh-huh. Well, a lot of what we do, to the manager's point, is performance monitoring, performance management, and oversight of a lot of data. So a lot of the work that we do isn't necessarily associated with a hard cost savings or a hard revenue increase. But we know that by nature of overseeing these things, we've seen them stabilize or we've seen numbers kind of level out.
To add to that, as Lee has mentioned, there will be direct savings that you can grab onto. There will be indirect savings through cost avoidance that you can quantify and document, where you might have been spending money on something that you really didn't need to spend money on. And also the productivity enhancements, quantifying productivity enhancements as well. All of those things make up when we speak to savings, we're referring to those types of things.
So do they make departments and services more efficient? Maybe there might, you might not actually see cost savings, but there is that efficiency factor.
What we focus in on is not necessarily making the department more efficient. We focus on the end result to the customer. If we focus on that end result, which is the customer, then it assumes that we have to be efficient and effective in order to deliver the quality of service the way that our customers expect us to.
I'd say also with a lot of departments, the issue is not really inefficiency or efficiency. Many of them really haven't had the capability to look at their data the way that we're looking at it until this point. And I think that's an important point to make, because there are a lot of really great people in government doing really great work. And if they don't have access to their data, it's difficult for them to zoom out and say, strategically, what do I need to do next? What decisions do I need to be making to do something well or to have it not necessarily work? Part of a huge component of what we're doing in our office is centralizing, cleaning, processing data, and having it in real time. So now departments can see, this is where my vehicles are, this is where this activity is happening. There are a lot of customer service requests here. We're enabling them to look at their information in a way that they haven't before. And that's increased productivity. I think it's increased morale as well, because people are really empowered by this information.
Sounds like it's a knowledge is power, Brandon. Is that the case?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. How unique, Harry, is this to Cincinnati? I mean, are a lot of other cities doing this too?
I think the way that we're doing it is unique.
Okay.
What you find in other places, some cities will do some sort of an innovation lab effort. Some cities have a stat program, and they do open data. But what you find, like in other cities, the innovation lab might be five blocks away from the stat facility or the stat process. And then open data is in another building, maybe seven blocks away. What we've been able to do here is to put all of this under one roof in a dedicated design specifically, a facility designed specifically to support this. So, again, thinking about all of this as a system and not as one thing or two things, but six different things that are integrated and working together as a system under one roof, which maximizes collaboration, and it maximizes innovation and creativity, and it maximizes teamwork.
Innovation lab. Explain that one to me, Lee.
Sure. So our innovation lab is essentially where we do process improvement. So if we notice that there is a process, usually one that touches a lot of departments, that isn't working, it's taking a long time, it seems to be really broken up, it's really a way of getting all of the stakeholders into one room to talk about what they do, how it can be improved, and what it needs to look like moving forward. So our innovation lab is where we lean out processes, but increasingly what we're doing is using it as a venue for building tools for departments to actually take this knowledge and implement new processes. It's one thing to say this process is broken and we're going to fix it and create a better model. It's another thing to say now we're going to put our new model into practice. We're going to make this better.
Harry, what led to the creation of this office? How did that all come about?
Well, when I was being recruited to be city manager, I met a lot of people in that process. Well, a lot of people met me and had a lot of discussions, and certain themes began to resonate. People want, you know, a high-performing government, customer service. I kept hearing that a lot. And the only way to do that is to do these kinds of things, but to do it in the way that we've done it here in Cincinnati. And we're very thankful that the mayor and the city council from day one was right in front, supporting us, making the commitment of resources, and very excited and enthusiastic about the prospects. And that's made this a lot easier as well. It's just, if you're going to have command and control over the bureaucracy, you've got to have these kinds of tools. Otherwise, all the ships will not always be sailing in the same direction.
Yeah. What benefits are there in terms of customer service enhancement? What kind of reaction have you gotten from the public about this system?
Again, in 2015, what we've started doing as a part of this process is we do an annual customer service satisfaction survey. And in 2016, we were able to raise the customer satisfaction rating by 10% from 15, and we were able to raise it in this year by another 6%. So we take that very seriously, Brandon and Lee can probably speak to the details of that, but I think that's because we want to get better. We want to know what people are thinking, how they feel about what we're doing, because we know that there's always going to be room for improvement.
Absolutely. And I think Brandon can speak to a lot of the work that we've done with data. He really got the open data portal up and running, which I think is the foundation for the work that we're doing with Cincy Insights. Cincy Insights really was inspired by us sort of thinking about, if I was a person in the city, what would I want to know about where I live? There's sort of two things that people always want to know when you talk about crime or trash or blight or anything. They zoom in and they say, what's happening where I live? And then they zoom out and they say, okay, is that good or bad? And so knowing that those are sort of the questions that people have about their neighborhoods, about their city, about government performance, we thought, how can we make this as clear and as accessible as possible?
I think one of the simplest pieces of technology we implemented was the email survey when a customer service request is closed out. We get that data back and we're able to tell, hey, how was my issue resolved? And we're able to see that growth. If someone did not do a good job, closing out a customer service request, or the customer felt like the job was not complete, we see that. And when we get a good pat on the back, we see that as well. So we were able to implement just a simple survey and get that data and process that and show throughout the stat process how we're performing in these key areas that we're measuring.
Yeah, part of this is that you have one area that shows procurement opportunities with the city. Are local suppliers using this to help do business with the city? Are you seeing a lot of response there?
Oh, you would be amazed. That was and that is the most popular data set that we have on our portal. When we launched that data set, there was a great response by the public. It's surpassed, I think we're up to 65,000 plus views of that particular data set. It is a very, very highly sought after data set. And we're always interested by the feedback that we get from it. People are We've increased the ability of the purchasing department to answer and to put the data out there, the bid packets and all that stuff. We increased the efficiency of even how they're working by just putting that data set out there as well. They're not handling as many phone calls because people can go online and take a look at the information that they would call into the office for someone to email them.
That's also true. I think that's a really great point. A huge area for efficiency with open data is public records requests or public records data requests. Police data is a perfect example of this. We've worked a lot with CPD to understand their data, to make sure we're putting the right data sets out there. And now I think we have like 6 or 7 police data sets. What's really, really great about this is that their PIO is saying, yeah, when we get these requests, we can point people to the portal. We know that we've all looked at it. We know that it's getting published and processed the same way every time. We know that it's updated. It's saving a lot of personnel time and pulling that data, redacting it, making sure it makes sense, making sure we're putting out the same thing every time. The Open Data Portal is a really, really great tool for making sure that we're putting all that information out there as consistently and really automatically as possible.
Lee, there's a move to make Cincinnati a smart city. So how much of a role does this play? Is this a good base, a good starting point for that whole effort?
This is critical. Something I tell people all the time is that a smart city is a data-driven city. You really cannot be a smart city unless you know what you have, what you're doing with it, and you're thinking about how you're managing it. So I think the first step in any smart city is understanding what you do and then really using that information to think about what does a city do, what is the role of a city, and how do we become a smart city in that we're making our city the best city it can be.
Harry, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, just to add another layer to what Lee has said, we have a procurement on the street right now for our Smart Cities Initiative, and the focus will be Wi-Fi and broadband. The idea is to leverage, initially it would be to leverage the streetcar footprint and all of the city assets that touch or are in proximity of that, and leveraging those resources and assets as relates to Wi-Fi for that part of the city, and then to grow it over time. The idea is that would be the foundation piece where various apps could be overlaid onto that infrastructure of a cultural arts nature, educational nature, transportation mobility nature, entertainment nature. In addition, we can also implement other smart technologies. Something that we're looking at as it relates to this is smart sidewalks. Okay? That will have a multitude of potential benefits.
A smart sidewalk. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's something that we're looking at that could emanate from what we're doing in terms of the Smart Cities Initiative. Again, just imagine walking down the street. You've got some sort of a strip of something embedded in the sidewalk that's talking to you and sending messages to you, and it's attached to a kiosk. And the kiosk operates just like and does anything that a cell phone can do.
Lee, it sounds like there's so much potential for growth in this.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Brandon, a lot of growth potential here, right?
Yes. We had a great summit at Centrifuge or the Brandery not too long ago. And just to see the energy that was in that room with a number of people who are interested in what we could birth from the Smart City Initiative is just really exciting.
Yeah, it sounds like there's inside the OPDA, too, there's a lot of potential here, too, as well to branch off in a lot of different directions.
Absolutely. I think once you have all the data, there's always more data. That's the first step, right? There's an infinite amount of data. There's data that we have. There's data that we can pull in from other sources. And we're always trying to find new ways to look at information, to understand what's going on, and to make sense of the world that we live in. So I think as far as I'm concerned, our potential is almost limitless.
Lee, Brandon, and Harry, thanks so much for joining me today. Office of Performance and Data Analytics, Cincinnati Chief Performance Officer Lee Tammy, Chief Data Officer Brandon Crowley, and City Manager Harry Black. And you can view data on a variety of city topics, from public safety to the economy, on the OPDA's Open Data Cincinnati portal or its interactive data site, Cincy Insights. You can find links to those at wvxu.org.